You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
All right. Hey, turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, we've been turning there throughout this entire series, right after 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and then also turn over to Matthew chapter 21, Matthew 21 as well. We're talking about who we are to be and become like if we've been saved by Jesus. And let me just start right here by giving you the title of the message today. We're talking about mission season. We're talking about mission season today, church. And so follow me here. When was the last time you were exactly what someone needed right when they needed it? When was the last time you came through big time for somebody else? Maybe it was a group of people. Maybe it was an individual. When was the last time you came through at just the right moment or just the right time or maybe even at just the right season in their life? You know what I'm talking about? When was the last time you were just clutch? Like when things weren't going good or when there was some pressure or maybe it came down to that crucial moment, but then you came through big time and you were just conveniently awesome, right? You gave the win. You saved the day. You thought up the brilliant idea. You scored the goal. You came through when no one else did. Have you had some of those moments in your life? Have you had some wins or where you just came through for people? Isn't it fun when it happens? You kind of feel like a hero, don't you? And so I love this phase of life that I'm in right now. I've got two young sons, just two little kids. And man, you always get to be the hero when you have kids in your house. Because mom and dad know how to make life happen. They know how to make things work. So for example, my kids, they love to build Legos. And they'll get these grand ideas on these Lego projects and things that they want to accomplish. And they'll be working on them. And then oftentimes they get to this point where they start getting frustrated because they've got the idea, but they can't figure out how to make it work. And it's coming down to this crucial moment. But then dad steps on the scene. And dad knows how to rock some Legos. Yeah, so I start helping them, right? And then I love it. My sons have said things like this to me when I've been helping them. They're like, "Dad, this is unbelievable. You're literally doing it right now." Yes, I am, son. Yes, I am. I was clutch for my kids this past week. I brought home my BB gun from my parents' house that was in storage. Apparently, it was exactly what they needed right when they needed it. They thought I was the coolest. But I like to be clutch in the little things too, just the day-to-day things. Like I love when my wife gets out of bed to have her coffee poured for her already. It's just what she needs, right? When she needs it, right? I love when she leaves the house, I grab the boys and we try to clean up the house or pick up the house so that she feels good when she gets home because it's just what she needs, right? When she needs it, right? But that's also just called being a good spouse, right? Come on, somebody. Yeah, all right. But hey, what about this though? Have you ever done this? Have you ever done the complete opposite and completely and genuinely disappointed somebody else? Like you didn't show up at all. They were completely let down by you. Come on, we've all done that, haven't we? We've all had those moments in our lives. So this is now the fifth week in our series where we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit that the Holy Spirit does produce in our lives if we've been saved by Jesus, if we say that Jesus is our Lord. So let me ask, is this series helping? Is this helping? And let me remind you, these fruits are relational. So the way that you relate to and interact with and treat other people, including God, The way that you treat others and relate to them should continuously change and grow and improve if you say Jesus is your Lord. Is that happening? Are we seeing some growth in that area? Even in the past 5 weeks, have you found yourself coming through for people more than you were in your past? Or have you found yourself disappointing people less relationally now because you actually have more of what they need? And come on, what is it that other people need? What is it that we all need? Man, we need these fruits. And so what are the fruits that we should be looking for? What are the fruits that should be pouring out of your life? Once again, here's Galatians 5, 22 through 23. If you've got your Bibles there, Paul's going to show us the fruit. He's going to show us what our God looks like, how he walks, talks, breathes, acts, treats other people, the whole thing. And so listen, if Jesus is our Lord and if we're God's kids, then we should look and walk and talk to and act like dad, right? All right, so here we go. These things should be showing up in our lives more and more all the time. Galatians 5, 22 through 23, Paul writes, he says, but the Holy Spirit produces. He does produce this kind of fruit in our lives. Again, if we've been saved by Jesus, okay? So here they are. Let's say them together again. Here we go. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. These fruits should express or relate to other people who we are. And these fruits are not optional for God's kids. And so, what happens when we don't have these fruits in our lives? What do other people experience from us when we have no fruit to offer? And how does Jesus think, how does Jesus feel when these things are missing? But better yet, what happens when we do have these fruits in our lives? What do other people get to experience us when we do have fruit to offer? And what does Jesus think and how does Jesus feel then? All right, if you got your Bibles open to Matthew 21, we're going to read verses 18 through 19. Matthew 21, 18 through 19. And now just to set the scene, okay, this is Jesus' last week of his life. Okay, and he's spending the week in the city of Jerusalem, okay? So it says, here we go, Matthew 21, verse 18. It says, in the morning, as Jesus was returning to Jerusalem, he was hungry. You guys see that? So Jesus has a need, right? He's hungry. It was morning. He wanted some breakfast. And so he noticed a fig tree beside the road. He went over to see if there were any figs, but there were only leaves. Then he said to it, may you never bear fruit again. And immediately the fig tree withered up. Okay, so look, I know we're dealing with the Bible right now, and sometimes we can tend to think that the Bible is a little bit hard to understand, but you guys are smart. And so what do you think? Based on Jesus' reaction right here, what do you think? Was this tree clutch or did this tree disappoint? Come on, disappointment, right? And big time disappointment, it looks like, based on his reaction. And why did it disappoint? Because there was no fruit, right? And get this, I think he might have been extra disappointed because this tree actually teased him a little bit. Did you see what Matthew told us about this tree? He said it was covered in leaves. It was a fruit tree covered in leaves, teasing the appearance of life, teasing the appearance of sustenance and growth, but then there was no fruit. It disappointed. This is when you're at work and you're planning out your relaxing evening where you're going to go home and grab that last piece of dessert that's in the fridge and watch some Netflix. And finally, when the moment comes and you open the fridge, you realize that your spouse ate that piece of dessert for lunch. Disappointment, right? And so what's Jesus do? How does Jesus handle this? Well, in the midst of his disappointment, he actually cursed this fig tree. Don't curse your spouse, by the way. That's not where I was going with that. Stop cursing your spouse and don't start. He cursed it. He spoke to the tree and declared, may you never bear fruit again. And immediately the curse took hold and the tree withered and died on the spot. Sounds pretty stern, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound a little bit stern? And for some of you, this might be messing with you just a little bit, because where's the fruit in Jesus' life as he's cursing this fig tree? Where's the love? Where's the patience? Where's the kindness? And then actually, if you read Mark's account of this same story, it might mess with you even more. Because Mark gives us a detail that Matthew doesn't give us. Let's check this out, okay? I didn't tell you to turn there, but it's going to be up on the screen. I'm going to read from Matthew 11, verses 12 through 14. Watch this. Same story, okay? The next morning, as they were leaving Bethany, they're going to head to Jerusalem, Jesus was hungry. He noticed a fig tree, and watch this. I love the way Mark says this. He noticed a fig tree in full leaf. In full leaf, a little way off. So he went over to see if he could find any figs, but there were only leaves because, and check this out, it was too early in the season for fruit. You guys see that? It's not even fig season yet. It's not even fig season yet, but nonetheless, it says, then Jesus said to the tree, may no one ever eat your fruit again. And the disciples heard him say it. They witnessed this. Okay, maybe it's just me, but with Matthew's version alone that we already read, it already kind of just appeared to be a little bit grumpy or maybe impatient of Jesus to curse this tree. But now it turns out it wasn't even fruit season yet. Figs weren't even supposed to be there yet. And he still cursed it. What's up? What's going on with that? I mean, is Jesus just having a bad day? Did he wake up on the wrong side of the bed? Well, lucky for you all, I was a good pastor this past week and I did my homework. And so it turns out, if you know anything at all about fig trees, there's actually more to this story. Okay, so again, this was Jesus' last week of his life before he died on the cross, okay? And Jesus died on the cross. This would have been the week of Passover. He died on the cross on Passover. Now, maybe it's a little bit easier for some of us to think of it this way. He died on Passover, but then he rose from the dead 3 days later, and we celebrate that as Easter Sunday, right? Okay, what time of the year or what season of the year does Easter always fall in? Springtime, right? Springtime. Okay, so get this. Spring is too early for figs to show up. However, it's not too early for to quash to show up. Everybody say, to quash. To quash. It's not too early for to quash to show up. In fact, about 6 weeks before figs arrive, or you could say during the springtime, to quash shows up right before the figs. They're like these little delicious baby figs that show up when the tree grows its leaves. If a fig tree grows leaves, there should be some to quash as well. And then they fall off the tree right before the big figs, the real figs, actually show up. But get this, people eat them. They're edible. To quash is actually fruit. Now, I've never tried them, but based on what I was reading, it sounds like they're delicious, nutritious, and they will satisfy your hunger. But now check this out. If a tree grows its leaves, but it doesn't grow any to quash, then you can know that there won't be any figs showing up anytime soon either. If there's no to quash, there's no hope for fruit on that tree. How many of you know Jesus invented the fig tree? Come on, Jesus isn't being mean here. He's not grumpy. He's not being cruel. He went over to this fig tree that he gave life to. He went over to this tree, which was in full leaf, just teasing all of the goodness, and he was looking for some to quash. He was looking for some baby figs. He wanted some fruit. He had a hunger, but when he saw that there were plenty of leaves, but no to quash, he then knew that there was no hope that this tree would ever be truly fruitful. And he also knew that this tree would do the same thing to other people that it did to him, disappoint. And so, what if Jesus's reaction wasn't really so much about him being grumpy because he didn't get some breakfast? What if it really had nothing to do with Jesus somehow being unloving, impatient, or unkind, or lacking in self-control? But what if Jesus took this opportunity with this fruitless tree because he wanted to show all of us something? What if Jesus took this opportunity with this fruitless tree because there's something he wants us to understand about it? What if perhaps he even wants to give us a warning? Because did you hear? Who saw him do this? Did you see that? Who witnessed this? The disciples. The disciples saw him curse that tree. They witnessed this. And keep in mind, this is the last week of his life before he dies on the cross. He's not wasting any opportunities. Okay, so what if Jesus knew how to take this moment of disappointment in his own life and use it so that we might grow? And so, can I remind you of a scripture we read last week? Last week we read from John 15, verse 6. And I think this will help us with the picture we're seeing right here with this fruitless tree. John 15, verse 6, Jesus says, "Anyone who does not remain in me," and we saw that if we don't remain in Jesus, then we can have no fruit production in our lives. He says, "Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned." So I've been telling you throughout this series that there is a day coming, a day that we are all racing toward, a day, a point in time, a season, if you will, where we will get to stand before our God who gave life to us. And so leading up to that day, in the here and in the now, we are to continuously be becoming more and more like him. It's an ongoing thing. It doesn't stop until that day we get to stand before him and he makes us complete in him. And so there's at least a couple of things that I believe Jesus is showing us here with this fruitless tree. And I believe one of the things that he's showing us is a picture of that day. That day of accountability, where Jesus will search through the leaves of our lives to see if he can find any fruit. And so if we're not careful, and if we're not intentional right now, that day, that time, that season might actually come unexpected for some of us. And when that day gets here, if we're not careful, we might find ourselves wanting to say things like this, but Jesus, I'm not ready yet. But Jesus, it's not my time yet. My fruit hasn't come in yet. I was just about to get around to my fruit season. But friends, the picture is clear. If you find yourself in that moment and you're still waiting on your fruit to arrive, if you find yourself in that moment and you're waiting to get around to your fruit production, then you're already too late. And to be honest, the reason you're really too late is because you completely missed the heart of Jesus long before that moment ever arrived. In other words, he really isn't your Lord. Because you weren't doing what he wanted you to do when he wanted you to be doing it. If there's no fruit in the here and in the now, if there's not even any to quash or baby fruit in the here and in the now, then how can we hope that there will be fruit then? You say, well, where's the grace in that? I thought Jesus was supposed to be full of grace. If you're waiting until then for your fruit season to begin, then the grace was given to you in the time that you have right now. The grace was given to you in the messages that you're hearing in this season of your life right now. The grace was given to you in the opportunities that you have right here and right now with a church family like this around you to help you continue to become everything Jesus wants you to be here and now so that fruit can pour out through your life. This day, today, is full of grace for you to start for the first time, or for you to continue like never before to become more and more like Jesus with the rest of us. Jesus loves you so much, and he has so much grace for you now. He's telling you now so that he can find fruit in your life then. But I do think there's at least one other thing Jesus wants to show us with this fruitless tree, and this is my one point for today. I think he's also trying to show us that the mission season is right now. The mission season is right now. It's not just all about that day. It's not just all about then. Here and now matters. If it didn't matter, come on, Jesus is smart enough and powerful enough to fast forward us to that day, isn't he? And so for now, I don't know about you, but I keep waking up in Newton, Kansas every morning. Right here and right now, I still see a vision in front of us called Newton Reborn for our town, and it hasn't been fully realized yet. Right here and right now, I still see a mission that we are responsible to live out together. When I look across this town, I see a harvest that is ready and that is ripe for the taking here and right now. And maybe I'm the only one, but I love that Mark pointed out that it wasn't even fig season yet. And I love that on the surface of this story, it's been possible to think that Jesus may have indeed withered a fig tree that wasn't being fruitful, even though it wasn't fruit season yet. Here's why I love that, because maybe Jesus wants to show us that it doesn't matter which season of life you and I are in. If you are in Jesus, then every season is fruit season. Is he your Lord? Did he save you? It's fruit time. It's harvest time. It's mission season. You don't get to take a season off. The Holy Spirit does produce this fruit in the lives of people who've been saved. We saw last week in John 15 that we are his true disciples when our lives produce much fruit. This fruit is not optional for God's kids. Disciples are saved, changed, and on mission. And until that day arrives where we get to stand before our God, there's no season in the here and the now where the mission isn't on. In season and out of season, we are to be relationally fruitful. We're to live the invitational on mission life where people can begin to know and begin to get satisfied by Jesus as they encounter us. We are to live our lives and position our lives in such a way that we can be exactly what other people need right when they need it. And the truth is, Jesus isn't waiting until that day to search through your life to see if he can find any fruit. He's doing that every day right here in the here and the now. The picture of Jesus looking through the leaves is a picture of what happens each and every day when the people in our lives who need God's people to be exactly what they need right here and right now, when they come looking for fruit. That's the picture. If you say you love Jesus, listen to me, God is expecting you to be clutch for other people here and now. People are walking into your life every day, at home, at work, at school, at the gym, at the coffee shop, at the grocery store, at the restaurant, at church. People are showing up at church and they're hungry. They need some fruit. They need Jesus. They need his love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do they get to find it in you? Are you available? Have you made yourself available for that? Are you coming through for other people? Are you on mission in the here and in the now? Are you living the invitational life? We wrote down names and we put them in the jars. Have you actually invited the people that you wrote down yet? Listen, I'm not asking, are you perfect and do you solve everybody's problem who's in your life and give them all their wants? You've got some people in your lives that want some things that they don't need and you don't need to give it to them, okay? But here's what I am saying. If you're here this morning and you say, man, I've been following Jesus for a long time. If that's you, if you say, man, I've been following Jesus for years, then you should be reliable. You should be a reliable source of healthy, delicious, nutritional fruit that other people can enjoy. And there should be a passion and a desire to be relational with and to be of service to other people so that they can get nourished from your life. If you're here and you're new at following Jesus, if that's more a more recent thing, then there really needs to at least be some taquash that's starting to bud. That there is nothing that you need to be waiting for fruit production to start in your life. People should find themselves getting fed by you or getting that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, the whole thing. They should find that coming out of you more and more all the time. And there should be a passion and a desire to be relational with and to be of service to other people so that they can get nourished from your life. The problem is, especially in a religious town like this, so many people go full leaf, but they never bear any fruit. This is going to be strong, but there's nothing worse than someone who's gone full leaf and has no fruit to give. Follow me. There's nothing worse than churchy people who say they love Jesus but have no fruit to offer and aren't even willing to do so. They're just religious at that point. They tease life, but they never come through. They give the appearance of fruit, but they disappoint. And if you look closely on the inside, you can see that their hearts are withering. Because they're not connected to the heart of Jesus. So very practically, what does withering look like? Well, it looks like not showing up. Yeah, maybe not showing up consistently, or maybe they do show up consistently, but their heart's not in it. Their heart's not in the church. They might serve, but their heart's not in it. They might give, but their heart's not in it. They might sing the songs, but it's going through the motions, or it's putting on a show. They're not being relational. Listen to me. They don't look for other people. They're not looking towards the needs of others. They're not praying for others. They don't see what people need. There's no care. There's no expression. They're not approachable, coachable, teachable, mentorable, humble, or correctable. The relational aspect is missing. They're not connected to the heart of Jesus, and so their hearts are withering. Honestly, I think it's actually much harder for people to get saved out of religion than if they had never stepped foot in a church ever before. Because so many people, it's so easy to go full leaf for so long, and you can convince yourself that you're a healthy tree when your heart is actually hardened to God. I think it's easier if people had never gone full leaf if they had just had bare branches. Either way, what will you do with the life and the time and the grace given to you by Jesus so that you can bear fruit in the here and in the now? Church family, are you coming through for others in the here and in the now? Are you really on mission? Are you really living the on mission life? If so, is there evidence? What can we point to? And look, there is grace for the mess ups. There's grace for the failures. There's forgiveness for the failures and the times we've disappointed. I've needed grace. I've needed forgiveness for times that I've disappointed. Even in vocational ministry, there have been times in my life where I know God has been telling me, you need to pour out some fruit, and I've kept it to myself. I'll never forget. There was a time Rachel and I used to live in Las Vegas, and I was a worship pastor on staff at a church there, and we had a young man that attended our church. And he used to live in Dallas, and he was in a wheelchair now because he lived in a rough neighborhood in Dallas, and a drive-by shooting had happened, and a stray bullet went through his house and into his spine. And so he was paralyzed in that wheelchair, and he had moved to Las Vegas to live with his aunt and uncle because he was kind of hoping for a better life. And they came to our church. And for three weeks in a row, as I was leading worship, started on the first Sunday, I just felt like God was saying, man, you need to invite him down and invite the whole church to pray over him that there might be healing. And I was too intimidated to do that. I thought, no, God, that's not you. Because what if we bring him down here and what if nothing happens? I don't want to get his hopes up and then get him disappointed. Nah, that's not. So I tried to ignore God. The very next Sunday, the same thing, only even stronger. Just God, you need to bring him down here and you need to surround him and invite the church family to pray for him that there might be healing. No, I'm too intimidated to do that. And we'll do that another time. No, you're not talking to me about that. The third Sunday in a row, son, you need to invite him down here. And intimidation or whatever the reason was, this is what I did. I basically just said, no, God, I'm not going to do that. And God stopped bugging me about it. And I got super convicted that afternoon. And we had a staff meeting that evening. And so I went to our staff meeting. And because of my conviction, I confessed to our pastor and our team. And I said, this is what I've done, man. I God's been telling me to pray for him or to invite us to pray for him. And I keep ignoring him because I've been intimidated. And I said, this is what I said. I said, can we pray for him next Sunday? And I'll never forget, my pastor looked at me and said, well, we could have, but he just got on a plane about an hour ago to move back home to Dallas in that terrible situation that he was in before because he didn't think things were working out for him here. I think God wanted to do something in his life. I sobbed when I found that out. And I did this as well. I looked at our team and I said, will you please forgive me? I've sinned. I asked everybody, will you please forgive me? I asked God, please forgive me. I said, I need your grace. I am so sorry. And I genuinely was sorry. Here's the good news. We got failures, we got mess ups, we got times that God has wanted to pour out fruit through our lives, or maybe we've been just MIA. We've been holding off and saying, no, my season's not yet here, God, or waiting. Listen to me. There's grace and forgiveness for all of it. There is. And here's the good news. If we're really sorry and we really do want forgiveness because we want to grow, then God can take all those failures, all those mess ups, all those times that we've held back, and he can use them so that our hearts actually don't get withered, but our lives get pruned so that we can bear even more fruit. I'm telling you, God knows how to use all your mess ups, all your past failures. He knows how to use all of it to equip you so that your life can bear just the right fruit at exactly the right times. You have a part to play. We need your fruit. We need your fruit. We need that fruit production ramped up in your life. We need your figs. We need your figs. We need your taquash. We need your bananas. We need your strawberries. We need your grapes. Some of you guys are just really fruity, but we need all of it. Thought I'd just lighten the mood a little bit. But church, listen, you've got to be on mission in order to bear fruit. The mission is the training ground. It's the fertile soil that will help you continue to become more like Jesus. As you share the fruit that's in your life, as you're relational, God will use those good experiences, the hard experiences, all of those relational experiences to help you grow even more fruit so that you have even more to share. And the cycle continues. The season is now. And please hear me. A missionless Christian is not a disciple of Jesus. And may not even be a Christian. Because where's the fruit? How are you coming through for others right now? Are you? Are you doing it here with us in church all week here? Are you doing it all week out there? Are you living the invitational life? Here's the truth. If you're not doing it with us here on a Sunday morning in opportunities like this or the opportunities we do have, if you're not doing it around here, where it doesn't get any easier because it's literally church. If you're not doing it here, I have a hard time believing you're really doing it out there. If you're not able to show love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, the whole thing, and serve other people here, I don't think it's really happening out there. And so think about this. When was the last time someone else was exactly what you needed right when you needed it? Man, I'll tell you what, we've got a team of people coming through for you each week around here. They're called Team Reborn. Man, think about it. They serve, they're kind, they care, they clean toilets, they welcome people, they give patience, they lead, they love, they bless, they lead songs, they're faithful, they disciple kids, they change diapers, they pour coffee, they pray, they preach, they change letters on giant marquee signs, they lead neighborhood gatherings. I don't know if you realize it or not, but if you call the gathering home, you got a group of people that come through for you big time each and every week. Come on, can we give it up for Team Reborn this morning and just say thank you? I'm serious, you guys are heroes. You guys are amazing. They bear fruit. And if you're trying to figure out how you're gonna get on mission or live the missional life, but you're not considering being a part of Team Reborn, I'm gonna tell you, you're missing one of the biggest aspects that God calls his church to. You're missing out on one of the biggest parts of the mission, and you're missing out on one of the simplest, most rewarding steps you can take that will get that fruit pumping in your life. Pastor Greg shared a story with me this past week from their church in Florida where he and Cynthia came from. And so they have a parking team at their church in Florida because their church is huge, right? And so the instant you pull into the property of the church or get on the parking lot, there are people out there ready to welcome you and make you feel at home. They're there to help you get a great parking spot, make sure you have everything that you need. And so one Sunday, there was a guy on their parking team, and he realized he wasn't there just to park cars or to help people find a spot. He was there to serve them. He was there to be relational with them. He was there so that other people might be able to get life through him. And so with that kind of attitude, that means he had his eyes open to see the needs, to see what's really going on with people. And so he watched this family get out of their car, and he could tell, man, they looked intimidated. They looked nervous. And so he walked up to them, and he said, He said, hey, it looks like you guys might be new. Can I help you? And they said, well, yeah, we are. This is our first time, and we don't know where to go. And then they actually said, and we're honestly pretty nervous to be here for the first time. And so, listen, instead of just saying, well, right over there is the entrance, man, here's what he did. He went the extra mile, and he said, man, let me take you. And so he escorts them the whole way, okay? And while he's escorting them, because he's being relational, he just starts small talk, starts a conversation. And while he has this conversation, he discovers a need. And so then he says, hey, when we get inside, let me introduce you to one of our pastors because we're here to help. So he takes them straight up to one of their pastors. And the pastor, he understands he's there to be relational. He's there so that other people might get life through them or through him. And so he listens as well. He listens, he hears, he takes time to understand, and then he helps these people get settled in for worship and the word of God. And get this, by the end of that service, this mom and dad had their biggest need in life met. They both gave their lives to Jesus that Sunday. You have a part to play. You have a part to play. And yes, we are going to start a parking team. Listen, come on, you have a part to play. It's so much more than just opening a door for somebody, you're handing people fruit. It's so much more than just changing a diaper, you're handing people fruit. It's so much more than just pouring a cup of coffee, you're handing people fruit. It's so much more than just handing the people on your list an invite card, you're handing them fruit. It's so much more than just showing up in your neighborhood gathering, you're showing up where there's relational opportunities for you to hand people fruit. Your life is the bait. Come on, if we all play our part, if you play your part, if she plays her part, if he plays his part, if I play my part, and God is playing his part, if we all play our parts together, we can see Newton reborn. We can see Newton reborn. It's mission season, church. Fruit has to be in season all year long here at the gathering. We need your fruit. This city needs your fruit. It's to quash time for some of you guys. It's big time fig time for some of you guys. Don't wait. Today is the day. Start now. Get that fruit production pumping. We're surrounded by hungry people who need your fruit. Start taking steps. Keep taking steps. Invite your friends. Be relational. Show up in your neighborhood gathering. Get yourself on Team Reborn. And as you help people around you, man, I'm telling you, as you pour out that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, God will continue to use those experiences to build you up relationally, as he builds other people up relationally, as he pours out more fruit into their life, and it grows in their life, and it grows in your life, and the cycle continues, and more Newton Reborn takes place. Can Jesus and the other people in your life right now find the fruit that they need from you? Can they find that from you? Don't wait another day. It is mission season, church. And so very practically, what are we doing together? What are the steps we're taking together? Okay, we've got two simple steps that I've been encouraging all of us to take as a part of this series. And then, you know, I got some more today. But here's the first one. Come on. You've got to examine your daily living through the fruit of the Spirit. Are we doing that? Did we grab those cards? We had these fancy cards. Man, I know we had 500 of them, and almost all of them have disappeared. If you haven't gotten one of these yet, there's still just a few left in the lobby, and we can order more if we need to. But, man, they just list Galatians 5:22 through 23 on them. They've got the fruit of the Spirit, and they're a great reminder for us to have. We've been putting them. Come on, we've been doing this. We've been putting them, like, on our mirrors in our bathrooms or next to our coffee pots. So when we get up in the morning, we see these things, and we say, Jesus, help me to be this way today. Help these things to come out of me, grow these things in my life. And then we've been putting them next to our nightstands or someplace where we're going to see them before we go to bed. I'm giving you all these eyes because I'm like hoping that you're saying, yeah, we've been doing this. Right? And at the end of the day, before we go to bed, here's the good news. You can actually see where you did a good job. You could be like, man, I nailed that one. Oh, that opportunity. Normally I would have just flown off the handle. I nailed that one. Clutch. Yeah, and then you can see where you didn't nail it. You can see where you're disappointed. But Jesus isn't disappointed in you. There's grace and there's forgiveness all day long. And here's what you get to do then. You got to say, Jesus, change me. And if you're praying that, surely it's because you really do mean it. He loves that. He's proud of that. Jesus, I really want to be like you. Help me. I need more love today. I need more self-control today. I need more patience. Make me like you. Man, if you pray that and you mean it, if you continue us with that, God will change your life. And then here's the other one. We got to read God's word daily, because that's how we know who God is, what he's really like. Are we reading our Bibles daily? Are we doing that, church? Come on, you got to. We cannot. I just don't get how we can call ourselves a church and say we're disciples of Jesus and not be in his word. I mean, that's like a problem the church has as a whole right now. Who do we think we are? We can't do that anymore. We've got to be in his word daily. So just a chapter a day. Start in Matthew. Just read a chapter a day. Get that YouVersion Bible app on your phone. It's so helpful. If you don't have just a regular Bible handy. I've heard about people just in the past couple of weeks, they're doing it on their lunch hour, just getting alone with Jesus and spending 15 minutes reading their Bibles. It's beautiful. Start Matthew. Read all the way to the end of the New Testament. And just keep going. If you miss a day, give yourself some grace, but keep going and pray. God, I want to know you more. Show me what you're like through what I'm reading. And God, help me to be more like you through what I'm reading. If you do that and you mean those prayers, God will change your life. Just a couple more things that we've got to do. Sixth Street Reborn is coming up June 8th and June 9th. We're going to do the whole hog barbecue out there in Lincoln Park again. We're going to show up that's on the Friday night. We're showing up on that Saturday for the morning to do yard work up and down the block. And I'm trying to be gentle with this, but here's just what I'm saying. If you call the gathering home and like you don't show up, I'm just being honest. I don't get that. That might be really hardcore, but I just don't understand it. This city needs your fruit. This is the mission season. And those of you guys that have done it, man, you've just experienced. It's awesome. And here's a little secret. We don't normally advertise this. God will probably do much more in you. You'll probably get blessed through the experience of you serving other people, maybe even more than the other people on the block get blessed by what you did for them. God's that good. I'm not saying you got to go into it being like, God, I just need you to do something in my life. But if you show up to serve others, he will. He will. So if you call the gathering home, or if you're trying to figure out, do I call this place home, show up with us for Sixth Street Reborn. Come on, let's be a blessing to this city. Let's do the on-mission life, amen? And then I'm pretty sure we had about 20 people go to breakfast this morning. Like 20 people just went to breakfast this morning. Woo! So breakfast is how you get plugged in here. We use it to share the vision with you, but really it's for you. It's for you to discover, man, that you've got a family here and a place for you to grow and for you a place for you to continue to become who God wants you to be. So, man, we want everybody to go to breakfast. It's going to start again at the beginning of June. Make plans now. Really grab the connection card and make plans now. Say you're coming in June if you've not yet been. And then Team Reborn, we'll get you plugged into Team Reborn and a neighborhood gathering as you finish breakfast. But if you've been to breakfast already and you're not yet a part of Team Reborn, today's the day. Today's the day to take that step. Grab a connection card. Just write Team Reborn on it. You have a part to play. Okay, it's not just let's have them show up here so pastor can preach to them and hopefully their lives will change. Man, discipleship is a team sport. So, man, yeah, we're going to have that parking team. Just look out. But some of you guys are going to be the very first people, even at the doors right now, that make people feel at home. And as they come in, the relational experience you gave them, the fruit that you gave them, prepares their heart and gets them settled in so that they can actually hear the word of God. I mean, you have just as much of a role to play in people getting saved, changed, and on mission as I do. Today's the day. Grab that card, write on there, Team Reborn, fill out your information. We're going to get in touch with you. Man, we're going to get that fruit production pumping in this church. Amen? Amen? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's pray together. Jesus, you are so good to us. And I thank you, Lord, that there was never and has never been a moment in your life where you have failed to give the fruit that we all need. I thank you that there's never a moment that you've held back. We all need everything that you have and want to give to us, Jesus. Thank you that you are clutch all the time. Thank you that we can depend upon you, that we can come to you. And thank you, Lord, that even when we've messed it up, even when we've failed, even when we've put ourselves on hold and said, oh, I'm going to wait on that, or not done what you've wanted us to do when you've wanted us to do it. Thank you that you are so full of grace. Thank you that you are so full of forgiveness. Thank you that, Lord, when you see those desires in our hearts to really want to grow, to really want to be like you, that you love that, and that you don't hold our past against us, Lord, that you use it to equip us. I pray there'd be a lot of equipping taking place in our hearts this morning and the weeks to come. I pray, Lord, forgive us of our failures. Forgive us for the ways that we've held back. Forgive us, Lord, for the times that our lives have poured out things that aren't fruit. So we're praying together, change us and help us, Lord, that we would today start living the on-mission life, maybe for the first time or more than we ever have before. Have your way in us, God. Do what you want to do in us. And Lord, I pray over our friends that are in the jars, the names that we wrote down. That God, the invitational life you want us to live would pour out fruit into their lives. And that more and more people might have the opportunity to experience you. That their hearts might be changed as well, and they might get to experience all the goodness you have for them. May we be faithful to take the steps you're telling us to take. Come on, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you this morning, church? How do you need to respond to him? What do you need to do? What step do you need to take? We love you, Jesus. We need you, and I'm sure we need you more than our hearts and minds can even imagine or understand, but help us, Lord. Walk with us. Lead us. Be blessed by us, God, and use us to be a blessing to everyone around us. Let us see the city reborn. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, and all my friends said, amen. Come on, can we thank our God together this morning? We love you, Jesus. We need you.
Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleinthercity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.